The following shiur is delivered by Rabbi Ariel Ovadia of the Sephardic Halakha Center, as part of the center's Parasha and Halakha audio series. In this week's Parasha, we read about a supercharged confrontation between Yehuda and Yosef. Yosef threatens to take Binyamin as a servant for stealing the cup, and Yehuda pleads with Yosef and threatens as well that he must return the lad back to his father, because if not, ve'azav et aviv amet, his father would not be able to tolerate the loss of Binyamin. Chachamim, in Pirkei Derabbi Eliezer, say that if you notice, Yosef's life was 110 years, which, according to the Midrash, was 10 years shorter than the life of the rest of the Shevatim. And the reason Chachamim say is because every time Yehuda mentioned to Yosef, Avdecha Avinu, your servant, our father, this constituted a bizayon to his father. It was a disregard for the respect of Yaakov. And Yosef, upon hearing that mention of the bizayon, was punished by a shortening of his life. Even though we only have five times where the phrase Avdecha Avinu, your slave, our father, is mentioned, however, there was a translator between them, Hamelitz ben Otam. According to Chachamim, this was Menashe. So the Mefarshim say, Yosef really heard this expression 10 times. Yehuda would say, Avdecha Avinu, and the translator would translate to Yosef. And hearing this bizayon of Yaakov 10 times was punished by the loss of 10 years of Yosef's life. The Ben Ish Chai in Od Yosef Chai explains a beautiful interpretation of a pasuk according to this midrash. When Yehuda confronts Yosef, he says, Yedaberna avdecha davar beozne adoni. Let your servant say something in the ears of my master, which according to Chachamim means that he pleaded with him not to use a translator. Ve'alihara pecha b'avdecha, and do not get angry with your servant, ki chamocha kefaro. Many interpretations have been given for this verse. However, the Ben Ish Chai says, we know that Paro knew 70 languages. And amongst them, Hebrew was supposed to be as well, Lashon HaKodesh. Now, Yehuda was telling Yosef, you most probably are like Paro. You obviously have the same level of knowledge and of wisdom as King Paro. The same way he knows Lashon HaKodesh, you surely know Lashon HaKodesh as well. For this, Yehuda tells Yosef, why should you listen to a translator? Let me talk directly to you. And do not let the Mekatregim be upset about you saying, hearing the word Avdecha. If you know Hebrew, don't hear the words Avdecha Avinu so many times, that's going to result in your loss of life. Why should you do that? That's the way the Ben Ish Chai explains. Midrash further says in Midrash Rabbah that because Yosef heard, again, this bizayon, this expression of Avdecha from Yehuda, referring to Yaakov, father of Yosef, this was why he was called in his own life, Atzamot, bones, as the Pasuk says, Ve'alitem et Atzmotai, and you should bring up my bones, Mizei Techem, again, a bizayon to Yosef on that part. We see from here how severe it is to disrespect one's father and mother, even Yosef, who was held to the highest standard, his life was shortened as a result of that. And surely, midat tova merubah, as Chachamim say, how much more so on the to the good end, if one does honor his father and mother, as the pasuk says, kabed et avicha vetimecha, honor your father and mother, leman yarechun yamecha, and the reward for that is arichut yamim. Now, there are many halachot that relate to kibud avayim. Some of them are not so practical, and some of them are very practical. And Be'ezrat Hashem will explain these halachot. First of all, there's a few tzivuim in the Torah that relate to kibud avayim. There's isur mekalel, one is not allowed to curse, one is not allowed to hit one's father and mother. And there's an obligation, hiyuv mora, to have awe of one's parents, as the pasuk says, ish imo ve'aviv tirau. One must have awe of his father and his mother. And there's also an obligation to honor one's parents, as the pasuk says, kabed et avicha ve'timecha. Just notice the level of importance of kibud avayim that it is one of the Aseret HaDibrot, one of the Ten Commandments, which is actually sandwiched between Shemirat Shabbat, keeping Shabbat, and the prohibition to murder. So it's obviously from the most important mitzvot aseh that we have. What is the reason for kibud av v'em? Writes the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Lamed Gimel. Mishoshe ha-mitzvah, part of the root of the mitzvah, she'al yedeh she'gomel chesed, by doing chesed and honoring and respecting the ones who have given you so much chesed and who have done good for you, you will obviously come to the recognition of the ultimate good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for creation, did for you by giving you all that you have, by giving you life, by sustaining you. And that is a necessary precursor. That is the only way one can come to Hakarat HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If one lacks Hakarat HaTov, if one lacks recognition of the honor that he ought and the gratitude that he ought to have for his parents, well, he will surely not be able to come to the true Hakarat HaTov, recognition of the great gratitude he must have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Abarvanel and Sefer Ikarim, Rabbi Yosef Albo, add further that by respecting one's parents, one is essentially respecting their Kabbalah, their Mesorah, that tradition which they have accepted from their fathers and their fathers back to Har Sinai. And by one showing kavod for those who have received from their previous generations, and furthermore, he verifies and he intensifies his connection to the Mesorah and to the acceptance of the Torah and Har Sinai and acceptance of the mitzvot. The Shulchan Aruch writes, based on the Gemara and Kiddushin, that Morah and Kavod, which means awe and honor, have different ramifications. Well, what is Morah? Lo ya'amod bimkomo ha-meyuhad lo la'amod sham besod zekenim. One may not stand where his father generally stands in a respectable place. For example, where his father stands during the tefillah, or if he's accustomed to stand amongst his peers in a specific place, one may not even stand in that place. Furthermore, one may not sit in his father's place, even if it's in his house. Ve'lo soter devarav, one may not conflict his father's words, whether it is in front of him or even when he's not there. Furthermore, lo machriya et devarav, one may not even approve of his father's words in front of him, meaning to say that he is agreeing. If his father says something and he says, yes, I agree with what my father says, that seems to be as though his father or mother needs his approval for their words to stand. And that obviously is not a form of kavod. The Taz says one is allowed to bring proofs to his father's position. Obviously, we see the level of importance, the level of morah that one must have from his father. Taz writes, of course, one is allowed to disagree with his father if it comes to matters of halakha, if it's not in front of him. Like we say in the Pasuk, en aitza ven tevuna l'neged Hashem, even if it's your rabbi, even if it's your father, if a person has reached a conclusion that he must argue on a specific matter that pertains to Torah and mitzvot, then he must do so. He may not hold honor to a human being, but rather seek the honor of God. At the same time, says the Taz, that one must do so not in front of his father, but rather not in his presence, and also do so bederech kavod, in a way of respect. He says that throughout the tour, if you'll notice, the tour was written by Rabbi Yaakov ben Harosh, son of the Rosh. He argues a few times on the Rosh's father. However, he will never say in a direct confrontation with his father, he will just rather side with the opinions who disagree. Chacham Avadia Yosef, quoted in Yerkut Yosef, writes that obviously when it relates to a discussion in halacha, a father and a son may learn havruta together, may learn together, and may argue as well as they are studying. And that is obviously the way that a person is supposed to study. Like the Gemara says, afilu avu vno, even a son and his father, when they are learning Torah together, they may seem like they are arguing, they may seem like they are enemies, but et vahev besufa. At the end, obviously, it's all to come to the emet, and the way to come to the emet many times involves a discussion. So again, one may not disapprove of his father's words, whether it is in his presence or not in his presence. One may argue in items of halakha if it is done in a respectful way, l'shem shamayim, again, not in a way of bizayon. And one, even if he's agreeing with his father, that should not be done if it looks as though the father needs the son's approval for his words to stand. Now there's another halakha that Maran brings. Lo yikrenu bishmo, lo v'chaya v'lo v'mato. One may not refer to his father by his first name, not in his lifetime and not after his passing, even if he's calling other people with his father's name. So, for example, if his father's name is Moshe, one is not allowed, it would seem as one is not allowed to call his others Moshe in the presence of his father. So the Rambam explains in this regard that it depends if this name is a common name or not. If it's a common name, then one is allowed to refer to others not in his father's presence with this name. So, for example, the case we said before, Moshe is quite a common name. If one's father's name is Moshe, the son may call others Moshe, not in his father's presence. However, in his father's presence, people may mistake and think that he's referring to his father. That's obviously not appropriate. However, if the father has a very unusual name, so say, for example, his father's name is Dan or Kalev or one of those names that are not so common, then even not in his father's presence, if he's calling other people who's there who also have that same unusual name, one should change the name a little bit, because people that is a bit of a disrespect to his father's. So Derisha argues in this Rambam, and he wants to permit calling others always, as long as you're not referring to your own father. However, the way Maran rules and the way the Rama also rules, if it's in your father's presence, whatever his name is, you may not utter the name, not referring to him and not referring to others. If it's not in your father's presence, it depends whether the name is usual or the name is unusual. If the name is unusual, one may not refer to others with that name, rather with a slight change. And if the name is a usual name, one is permitted to use it in reference to other people. Now, everyone agrees that one may not refer to his father by name, whether in his presence or not. So the question is, what if someone is asked for his father's name? Or, as happens commonly, you go for a Misha Berach, and the person asks you for your name, for your father's name. Or you're getting an aliyah in a shul that calls by name. Most Sephardic shuls don't. But let's say you're an Ashkenazi shul, and they ask you, what's your name? What's your father's name? So for this, the poskim advise that one should note that is his father before he says the name. So for example, the person's name is Reuven ben Yaakov. He should say, when they ask him for the Misha Berach, he should say, Reuven ben Mor Avi Yaakov. My father, my master, my father, Yaakov. You called for Aliyah, my father, the name of my father is XYZ. And thus, you are not disrespecting. Obviously, they need to know the name. There's no option there not to say the name out of respect. However, one may refer to his father by name if that is the only option, and if he introduces him by saying, my father, Mor Avi so-and-so. If one is giving the Misha Berach to his own father, then he should omit the name completely and just say, we have Arechet Mor Avi, Ben, etc., etc. And that would be the most respectful way to do so. Now, Poskim in general have an interesting discussion. You know, the custom was in Europe of yore, and in many places as well, in Spanish this is the custom, and in many other languages, that when you refer to somebody of importance, you don't refer them in the singular form, but rather bilashon rabim, in the plural. So for example, you say atem, or some other form of plural reference to the person you are talking to, if he has chashivut. So the question is, why doesn't one have to use that expression with his father? It seems like there's no halakha that one should refer to his father in the plural form. Aruch HaShulchan writes that obviously when it comes to items of respect, it all depends on the custom of one's society, of one's country. And it's not the custom that people refer to their parents in the plural form. Therefore, it's going to look not disrespectful, but it's not going to look normal that one is going to refer to his father in the plural form, and therefore one must not take care to do so. Divrei Malkiel says further, if a person refers to his father in plural, it seems as though he has not one father, and that is actually a lack of respect. So therefore, when one refers to his father in the singular form, Belashon Yahid, that is much more respectable. How about then using a Lashon Nistar, speaking in the third person, that's also a form of Kavod. If you notice in Eretz Israel, this is more common. When people refer to a Chacham, they say, you know, the Chacham said like this, the Rav said like that. Should one do so with his father as a form of respect? So interestingly enough, the Hatam Sofer, in the name of Rabbi Nathan Adler, his teacher, the famed scholar from Frankfurt, writes that actually, if you examine carefully the Pesukim in the Torah, this is not the Jewish way. when Yaakov asks Yitzhak for the beracha, he says, "Kum avi," rise, my father, referring to him in the present tense, in the second person. When Esav, however, refers to his father, he says, "Yakum avi," let my father stand, speaking to him in the third person. Perhaps the reason for this is that there is still that expectation of a bond between a father and a son, and being that speaking in the present tense in second person is not necessarily disrespectful, we choose to use that form to create that relationship between father and son. Similarly, we even use with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we say Baruch Ata Hashem to indicate the special relationship we have with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now the discussion is in the poskim. Now that we have established that one is not allowed to call his father by his first name, or even others by his father's name, even if it is a common name, if the father is present. Now, how does the minhag, this dehemet brings, and many poskim bring, that the Sephardic minhag for generations and generations has been to name one's children after one's parents, during the lifetime of the parents as well. So as Tehemet says, many times you'll have a father whose name is Moshe and a grandchild whose name is Moshe, and the name Moshe is being tossed around the house. No one knows if he's referring to the father, if he's referring to the son, and that obviously may seem to be at odds with this halakha that we just mentioned, especially if one's father's name is a Shem Peli, is a unusual name. Then it's surely there's no heter even to refer to his son not in his father's presence with such a name. So how is it that our minhag is to name one's children after one's parents in their lifetime, even after their passing? As we saw in the halakha, one may still not use one's parents' names. So some wanted to say this is actually the reason why the Ashkenazim refrain from using a father's name, for naming after the living. Others say that we probably are relying on the concept of mehila, the fact that the father, in this instance, for calling one's children after him, there is some sense of mehila, there is some sense of, let's call it, forgiveness. The father allows his son to call his child with such a name, and that's going to be permitted. However, that's a bit problematic. Chacham Tzion mentions that mehila doesn't always work. If somebody doesn't know that there was a forgiveness on behalf of the father or a hacham as well, the halakha is that a hacham may also forgive his honor. And for example, the hacham can tell someone, you don't need to stand up for me, you don't need to respect me. That is permitted. However, that can only be permitted betzina'ah, when no one sees, or if it's publicized, his specific forgiveness is publicized. But here, says Chacham Ben Tzion, if no one knows that the father allowed the children to call with this name, then maybe perhaps one should not use it, at least in public. So this Tehemet and many poskim bring that today, it's actually, and this was for generations as well, this is the kavod of the father. The father wants you, and the mother wants you, to call the child on their name, obviously ensuring that their name will stay for generations, will be passed on from generation to generation. And in such an instant, this is even more than a usual forgiveness that we have to be hoshesh. Perhaps people don't know of this forgiveness. In this instance, not only does he say, not only is it mutar, it's actually a mitzvah to do so, and the mitzvah is specifically kibud avayim. This associates this dehemet, because one is respecting their parents by showing them that he is naming his own children after them. As a matter of fact, I've heard this from grandchildren, from Chacham Avadia Yosef, that he actually also instructed them to call them after him, and to even refer to them without any nicknames or roundabout ways, but with the name Avadia as well. And that for him was a great source of pleasure, a great source of nahat, and that is also a kavod. Similarly, the Shulchan Aruch brings a halakha that when one mentions his father's name after his passing, one has an obligation during the first year to say Hareni Kaparad Mishchavo, and during the ensuing years to say Zichrono Levacha, of blessed memory, as a form of respect to his father. That's all in the concept of mora, of awe from one's parents. Now, Ezeu Kibud, what is honor of one's parents? What is included in the obligation of Kabed et Avicha v'et Imecha? Says the Gemara, and Maran brings, Ma'achilo mashkeh, one feeds his father or mother, one serves them to drink, Malbishu mechaseh, he dresses them, he covers them, Machnisu motzi, takes them in the house, takes them out of the house for errands or whatever they have to do, V'itenenu lo besever panim yafot. And not only that, says Maran, based on the Gemara, one cannot do these acts of service, serving, feeding, etc., etc., in a way of disrespect. He says, "Afilu machil aviv petumot." Even a person feeds his father the best foods and gives him to drink the best wines. If one does so with not a sever panim yafot, with a frown on his face, that is still a form of disrespect, and he really gains not. He doesn't gain much by feeding his father all that he does. Many times a person can hold himself to a high standard of kibud avaim, but at the same time may be a little bit disgruntled about it and do so without heshek, with not much enthusiasm. And like we said from the Sefer HaChinuch, the whole idea of kibud avaim is to instill in one's mind and in one's heart a sense of gratitude. And that leads about to gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now if one does so, one respects his father and mother, but in a way that he shows that he's not interested, what type of gratitude is there? If one is really grateful, one should do so with a sense of pleasure, with a sense of joy, that he is able to give back to those who have given him so much. Now, the Gemara in Kiddushin discusses, what does kibud have to come at the expense of? Who pays for this kavod? One must feed his father and mother, clothe them, etc., etc. Who pays for all this? So one opinion says, kibud aynu mishal av. The person only has to be to honor his parents from the parents' account. Others say, mishal ben. Others say that this must come at the expense of the son. La halacha nifsak, according to halacha, we rule that mishal av, meaning to say that one does not have to go to spend money in order to feed or clothe his parents. However, says Maran, im yesh laben ve'en la'av, if the father it lacks means and the son has means, bedin can force the child to feed the parents or to support the parents. And he brings from, it seems, in Bet Yosef he discusses that it seems from what the Rambam says, that he may also do that at the expense of his tzedakah money. You know, somebody has ma'asot, and perhaps his parents are aging, and it's difficult to pay specific expenses. He may do so from the tzedakah account. However, says the Rema from Agaot Mordechi and others, that this is not appropriate. That the parents obviously did not sustain them just from ma'at tzedakah, but they put their whole life into their children. So for a person to only cap, of course, the obligation is mishal av. One does not have to go to great expense, and one does not have to, like Hachamim said, you don't have to knock on doors in order to be able to. If one cannot even support himself, then he does not have an obligation to monetarily support one's parents. However, Tavo Me'erai says a very strong expression that one who only relegates the respect of his parents to his ma'ot tzedakah, and he does not spend more than that, that is inappropriate. Of course, even if one does not have the means to support one's parents financially, still there's an obligation lechabdo begufo. So he's not going to pay for the meals, but he has to do as much as he can with his own body to serve them, to respect them, to take care of their physical needs in whatever he can. And that way, that kavod never goes away for lack of means. And furthermore, if one has to lose time from his job, let's say, for example, one is making X amount of money per day at his work, at his business, or from going to a convention, and his father needs a specific amount of care, one may not say, well, the halakha says that you don't have to spend from your own personal money, then I will not have to spend on the expense of my work. That is not the halacha. The halacha is that you don't have to spend money. But meni'at revach, if a person is going to lose from his job and is not going to make money, then he has the obligation to do so in order to respect his father and mother. There are many more details and practical halachot of mitzvat kibud avaim that we did not get to. But hopefully we've shown a little bit of how important it is to be careful in the observance of this mitzvah. And this discussion will hopefully lead to a more in-depth study of these halachot. Obviously, the example of Yosef and how he was held accountable for the slightest disrespect for Yaakov's kavod shows us how serious is the obligation of kavod and morah avaim. The Gemara in Kiddushin asks, what is the limit for kibud avaim? The Gemara brings an example of Dama Benetina. Dama Benetina was the name of a non-Jew from Ashkelon in the times of Chachamim. One time, the Chachamim needed one of the expensive stones for the ephod, the stones placed on the Kohen Gadol's shoulders, and Dama Benetina owned such a stone. They went to him to request the stone, and he said that he cannot give them the stone because the key is under his father's head and his father was sleeping. Dama did not want to wake his father up, even for such a great loss. Eventually, he lost the deal, just so he should not wake up his father. However, the next year, he was rewarded with the birth of a para aduma, a red heifer, which fetches even a greater price than a stone for the ephod. The Ben Ish Chai asks, why would a non-Jew be the poster child for kibud avaim? Why would the Gemara use a non-Jew as the example for a Torah obligation? There are countless examples in the Gemara and the Midrash of outstanding kibud avaim by Rabbi Tarfon, by Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, and others. So why do we have to look for a non-Jew to serve as our role model? The Ben Ish Chai says that that is precisely what the Gemara means, Gadol ha-metzuveh ve'oseh, one who is commanded to do a mitzvah and does so is greater than one who does not have to do a mitzvah and does so voluntarily. Not only with regards to the reward, but in general, if a non-Jew who fulfills the mitzvah out of logic, just because one must logically be grateful to his parents, and he fulfills the mitzvah to such a high degree, surely us who are commanded by Hashem to honor our parents should be held up to such a high standard, if not more. May we merit long and healthy lives for our families and our children, and may the pasuk be fulfilled, Lema'an yarichun yamecha, על האדמה אשר השם אלוקיך נותן לך לרשתה. This audio series has been brought to you by the Sephardic Halakha Center. The center is committed to advancing research and application of halakha in the Sephardic community nationwide. For a halakhic consultation, monetary Beit Din services, to order this series or to sign up to receive the Sephardic Halakha Journal, or for all other information, please call 1-844-200-TSHC or email info@theshc.org to subscribe.